Joining me in the studio, Rob Katz. Rob, welcome.
Morning, Howard.
So we're talking boxing, and that's basically where my knowledge runs out, which is why you're here. But I've actually was wondering when we were discussing setting up the show, do Jewish South Africans have a history in boxing?
Jewish South Africans do indeed have a history in boxing, Howard. And, you know, it's fair to say, and no one will argue with the point I'm making now, is that two of our guests in studio today, namely Rocky and Larry Weinstein, their oldest brother, Morris, mm-hmm. of blessed memory, was without a doubt the finest Jewish boxer in South Africa ever. He had over 140 championship bouts as an amateur. But that's not even the remarkable thing. The remarkable thing is, as a professional, in the early 70s, when he fought, when boxing was at its heyday in the country, Morris mm-hmm. was rated number 7 in the world. In the world, right. Which is, you know, unheard of. There's no Jewish fighter since Morris internationally, never mind in South Africa, that was rated as high as Morris Weinstein. So there's a strong tradition of boxing in South Africa, but perhaps I should actually start, you know, in the world, because, you know, the Jewish influence in boxing in the world has been enormous. You know, in the late 19th century, early 20th century, when the waves of Jews fled Eastern European persecution, and, you know, a lot of them landed up either in America or in the UK, in the Lower East Side of New York, in Manhattan, right. in the teeming tenement buildings there, you know, that was quite poor, and mm-hmm. poverty was prevalent, and the Jews had to fight their way out of that poverty. And, you know, in the early 1920s, the most famous Jew in the world wasn't a high court judge, it wasn't a Hollywood actor, and it wasn't a singer. It was a Jew. A Jewish boxer, lightweight champion, called Benny Leonard. He was actually born Benjamin Liner, right. And he changed his name. He was scared of his mother, and he changed his name, and he became the finest lightweight champion of all time. And he actually gave the Jewish immigrants in New York confidence to compete in the world, because here was this, you know, Jewish kid coming in from nothing to become world lightweight champion. You know, a decade later, there was a rabbinical student called Barnett Rosofsky, whose father, unfortunately, was murdered in a shootout in Chicago. He landed up in an orphanage, and he then, you know, had to fight his way out of poverty. Again, changed his name from Barney Ross to Barney Ross.
Because we see our image, our narrative of the fearful European Jew leaving Europe and coming to going to America or wherever they were going, wherever they could go, is very different to this image of the immigrant who actually is quite literally fighting his way out of poverty.
That's exactly right. So, you know, and the same story happened, you know, in the UK, that, you know, two of the finest British boxers of all time, Ted Kidd Lewis and Jack Kidd Berg, exactly, Whitechapel, Lower East End of, East End of London,
so fought the way story. Out of poverty.
Yes. Right. What happened in the second generation was, you know, the sons of immigrants then became, through the professions, lawyers, right, accountants, right. doctors, etc. But the Jewish influence in boxing remained. You know, Jewish managers and promoters, primarily in the UK and the US, were legendary. Mark Jacobs, Bob Arum, and even in South Africa, you know, we've had, you know, in recent memory, three top promoters, Rodney Berman of Golden Gloves, Mark Siegel, Alan Young. Mm. So the boxing influence with Jewish people has been prevalent since the late 19th centuries.
So the story of South African immigrants actually happens much later within the South African historical context.
Yes.
Because they come into South Africa in the 1930s, 1940s. Is that when we saw a similar pattern happening in South Africa?
So, yes. So, for example, that's exactly right. So, for example, if I look at Larry and Rocky's family, mm-hmm. okay, Morris was the son of Lithuanian immigrants,
right.
okay. The family grew up in the south of Joburg in Rosettenville. And, you know, life was tough for the boys. Mm-hmm. Life wasn't easy. Morris, as I said, joined the legendary Alan Towil stable with very famous names like Pierre Fourie, Mike Skutter, and, you know, rose to number 7 in the world.
Right. So that's the South African context. Yes. Where do we find boxing? What does boxing look like within this area today?
Yeah. So I'd like Larry to talk to that.
Right.
But, you know, just before I introduce Larry, you know, both Larry and Rocky are no strangers to Chai FM. They've been on before when Chai FM did the tribute to their late brother Morris. One of the interesting stories Larry told was, you know, walking to Cheder, you know, in Rosettenville, he had two fights on the way to Shul with his brothers, and then the boys waited for them to finish Cheder. Was it Cheder or Shul, Larry?
That was Cheder.
Cheder, and then they had three fights on the way home. So, Larry...
Because you had rested. Right.
So, you know, Larry, you know, sport is comfortable with Larry. Larry was a professional footballer.
Right.
Played for the old Highlands Park, Florida Albion, and Rangers in the South, and even at the age of 16 got offered a trial at Wolverhampton Wanderers in the UK.
Amazing.
Today, Larry is chairman of the Racing Association. But the question I'd like to ask Larry is, Larry, you've seen it all. You've been involved in boxing from an early age. You've seen your late brother rise through the ranks of amateur and a very, very successful pro football career. Where is Larry Weinstein today vis-a-vis boxing? And Larry, if you can answer the question, is that in the 1970s, boxing certainly was at its peak in South Africa. It seemed to have dropped down in the last 10 years, but seems to have, you know, picked up a little bit. There's a lot of new tournaments coming. So if you can, you know, just talk really about what you've seen in boxing in the past, where it is today.
Sure, Rob. Good morning to all the listeners and to everybody in the studio. Just to go back onto talking about the immigrants, something that that wasn't mentioned with our previous interview. My late dad, when living in Doornfontein as a young man growing up, used to go and get paid for sparring with professional fighters, and that's what used to happen in the old days. And that's where the love of boxing came to the family from my dad. And he wasn't scared of his mother. He was scared of his father, Jack, because Jack was a man that really put it to you if you didn't behave, and he didn't want him to box. So, but when the boys came along, my dad wanted us to get into boxing, and we all were involved in boxing as kids. But I boxed as a junior and then a senior, but then I left boxing to further my soccer career, because that's where I felt I wanted to be, you know. So, and living in Turfentine, I then signed for Highlands Park, and I used to catch a bus to come and play at Balfour Park with the likes of Martin Cohen and all the guys, and you know, which we now see and have done a hell of a well over those years in the footballing career. But to talk about boxing, the sad part about boxing in those years, the early days, boxing was one of the most followed sports in South Africa. Firstly was football, and then you had a huge following of boxing. And boxing at the time was one of the highest paid sports for fighters. Mm-hmm. And that's why, talking about New York and coming out of the ghettos and that was a way of getting out of poverty, and where the guys used to go and try and make a living and got into the ring and really, as you say, fought their way out of the ghettos or out of poverty, and the people there were a lot of people struggling, as there always is from a financial point of view, families, and the fighters that in those days felt that they could take the burden off their parents and go out and earn a living.
And even if it was just by sparring, which is so interesting.
Yeah, that is very, and you would go to the boxing clubs in CBD and find them. And as I say, the money was around, so they could even pay the guys for sparrings.
One of our listeners says, "Hi guys, my dad and his three brothers were amateur South African champions. Also lived in the South in Regent's Park, the Zimmerman brothers. That was Chatzka, Maldwin, Alexander, and Arthur Zimmerman. Chatzka fought over 300 amateur fights and was undefeated."
You know, going back to what era that was, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there was a lot of fighters. When we say Jewish fighters, the ones that became well-known was obviously Morris, because of the professionalism. Because the amateur, in those days, amateur boxing was followed was not as much as the professional. You used to get big crowds to the professional fighting ranks. I mean, Wembley Stadium would be full to see Periphery fight Galendez and all of those. And they had tournaments at the Rand Stadium, and you needed the big stadiums for the boxing. So from that point of view, the boxing, with my brother, we followed the boxing. But as I say, from my point of view, getting back, as Rob has asked about what's in it with the boxing, from my side, I'm involved in the racing association, which is horse racing.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pumalela were looking for development, to put money into development fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And they created this brand called, first of all, it was Boxing 5, and now it's Fight 5.
Right.
Because like Soccer 6, it's a bet where guys go and bet on soccer, and today you can bet on any sport.
Absolutely.
In the old days, you could only bet on horse racing, and the side betting was on the boxing. I mean, there was no legal betting on boxing, but it was always the side bets that took place. What happened was, I decided to, Rocky started his gym and he started training fighters. So I started looking at the industry, where it was, and see where the sport was. And I just felt that the fighters, the development fighters, all the trainers were battling to get fights for their guys. Not that they weren't, but not enough. So we then decided to put together sort of a strategy where we could get involved in the development of boxing and bring the guys through from their pro debut and develop development of fighters, giving them tournaments to fight on a regular basis. And this is how this Fight 5 started. We've now gone on to registering a promotion called Boxing 5, which a friend of mine, Tumelo Matsotse, is taking out the promoter's license.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the same vision, where from a promotions point of view, and don't get me wrong, boxing is a big business, but from a promoter's point of view, they've got to make a living out of it, because that's their business.
Right.
Whereas Tumelo and myself, it's not our business. We don't need to, you know, we don't need to fund ourselves through boxing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a strategy where we're looking to develop the fighters and to get boxing back on track. And to actually, when I started going to the gym and meeting the guys and then seeing what they fight for, these guys train for a fight. They start like 2 months before, they hit the road, they work as hard as they can, and then they get into a fight and they sign a contract, and it's for R1,000 a round. So if it's a four rounder, they're getting R4,000. I mean, that to me sounded like it is really, really not in a good space. I mean,
certainly not for what they put themselves through in order to get there.
And the transport and they've still got to earn a living, and you've got to be a professional. If you want to be a professional.
So whereas it used to be a way to claw your way out of poverty, it's becoming much more difficult under those circumstances.
There's no doubt, and that's where we saw there's an opportunity to try and help these guys and try and raise the purse money, give them more fights, and in doing so, the standard of boxing, get people back to boxing, get the crowds back to watching the fights.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that I also found is no disrespect to the fighters, and I'm not having a go at them, but once you signed a contract, you it's for a four rounder, you get R4,000, and your opponent gets R4,000. So whether you put the effort in or not,
you
sign the contract.
Absolutely.
So what we've tried to do is put on best fight of the night, where they get extra bonuses, and then look to try and incentivize the guys.
So let's just understand this. This is happening on Sunday, May the 6th. It's at Turfentine.
Turfentine Racecourse.
Right.
Yeah, we have a venue room there, which we've had two tournaments there already.
Right.
That's been well attended.
And how many fights will there be in
there'll
the night?
On Sunday, there'll be 9 fights. And the fights will take place as Rocky has got 5 fighters on the bill.
Wow.
And Lionel Hunter has got the balance. I think he's got 3.
Mm-hmm.
4. He's got 3, and Manny Fernandez's son has got 1. So there's 9 fights all in all. And these fights are really something to see. The guys really put on a good show, good boxing, and it's been... The last two tournaments have been very, very successful.
All right, so you've got some boxers in the studio with us.
Yes. So, Howard, before we get on to the boxers, I'd just like to just talk to Rocky quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rocky, you yourself were South African Defence Force Light Heavyweight Champion. You had a professional career as well. For our listeners who never listened to the Morris tribute, where's Rocky Weinstein today?
Good morning, all in studio.
Let's just adjust your mic slightly. There we go. That should be fine.
Rocky Weinstein today has got a gym full of boxes. Started off right in the beginning and going back some 10 years ago, training fighters, and slowly but surely sourced a couple of guys that started training with me. And, you know, guys like Fortune Muyamba, who was one of the first guys.
And of course, Junior, who's with us in the studio, who will come to just now. So, Rock, the one question I wanted to ask you is that there's a prevalence of boxing and boxer-sized gyms, especially in northeast Johannesburg. It looks like, you know, a lot of, youngsters today and young adults enjoy the boxer-sized classes. Talk our listeners through, typically what would happen at a Rocky Weinstein gym. Your gym's in Edenvale, but what would your training classes be like, and what would the benefits to people coming to these boxer size classes be?
Okay, well, you know, a lot of people are getting tired of just going to the normal gyms and working out with weights and this and that, but on the cardio and the fitness side of things, I don't think you'll get a better workout than you do in a boxing workout. And got some of my ex-fighters, Junior and Fortune, that are assisting me with all my fitness training. And it's a great workout, 1 hour sessions, warm you up, put you through your paces, cool you off.
So even if somebody's not particularly serious about boxing, they want to exercise, they want to learn the skill, but they're never going to be...
The self-defense side of it, for ladies and kids, self-defense is great. Yeah. And it's an ultimate workout for everybody, you know, even if you don't want to be a boxer or a professional fighter.
Yeah, it's just good for fitness.
For sure.
I think the one thing, having been to some of the classes myself, is that if you go to a gym yourself, I think it's a fair statement to make that it's pretty self-regulatory, i.e. you do the stuff that you want to do, and you don't do the stuff that you don't want to do, and you do it at the pace you want to, not at the pace you don't want to. These classes, Howard, are quite intensive. But the nice thing is that, they build you up. So, having been there myself, I do see the value of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just about to go 8:30. We are talking boxing. We're talking about a boxing experience, a boxing tournament that is happening on a Sunday. We're giving away 4 tickets to this boxing tournament on a Sunday. All you've got to do is SMS the answer where it is being held. 34519, where is this tournament taking place? 34519 or 061-895-1019. Gimple the Fool says, can't you put Howie in the ring and put on that Cabana song? No, that's my running song. I run to that song. I don't box to that song. And I can tell you, I probably honestly would make the world's worst boxer. I can tell you that right now, unequivocally. There's little doubt about that. All right. So, Rob, we do have two of the boxers in the studio.
We do indeed. But Howard, having been in boxing most of my life, I've seen some howlers. I'm not sure you'd be the worst.
Really?
No.
I'm pretty sure of it.
Right. So in studio today, we have two boxers. One just recently retired, Junior Sawyer. Welcome, Junior. And one who is fighting actually on Sunday's bill. It's Eric McCarty. Eric has a record of 23 fights, 20 wins, 2 losses and a draw. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you.
Eric, just for our listeners out there, what is a day in the life of a professional prize fighter? You wake up early in the morning. Take us through the very rigorous, strenuous exercise and eating regime that you got to do.
Yeah, firstly, every morning is for to run. I run every morning and evening.
How far would you run on a typical morning?
2 hour.
2 hour run?
Yes.
Right.
And 2 hours every day.
Yes.
All right, so there we go. So that's I'm precluded before I even start.
No.
Okay, I'm not going to be professional. Right, carry on.
And evening, Rocky and the Junior, they push me.
So how many rounds typically would you...
Sometime 12 rounds of sparring and another exercise.
So it would be 12... Rocky, is it 3 or 4 minute rounds that you put the guys through?
We only do 4 minute rounds in my gym.
So just to put things in perspective, a 2 hour run in the morning, 48 minutes of boxing in the ring and other exercises. Wow.
Sure.
Tremendous, tremendous. Junior, you were you've just recently retired. Okay. Yes. You've came to South Africa from the Congo. I suppose your story echoes, you know, what we were talking about, you know, the Jewish immigration to America looking for a better life. Today you are an assistant trainer in Rocky's gym. When your fighters come to you, obviously you have to put them into the ring in good physical shape. You have the awesome responsibility of that.
Correct.
Take us through from a trainer's point of view of what it's like training these young professionals and how hard you've got to push them and, you know, what your mindset is when you have to go through all of this.
Thanks, Rob, for this opportunity. What I'll say, we come far with Rock, and then we know how... I just copied something he was giving me when I was a boxer. So we got only two boxers who he was left in feet. Those one only come, they are new boxers. It's like a new style is coming in our gym. So it's just like a father. You know what the father tell you already to do. So he can be there, he cannot be there. I know how I'll take those boys, like we starting them from, because they're coming from different gym. Then we have to receive, right, to make them together and then to give them our start. Now we got some preparation, how we do, how we cook in the gym. That's how we do.
Right. You think you could do anything with Howard?
I can. You know.
I don't know. What are you, like a magician?
At the result, like last fight, last tournament, people saw we have a 4 boxers and then it was 4 wins. That was the result, how we cook. Now we're going 5. I'll ask everybody must come. We not let them down. So you'll see what are we cooking about the boys.
Right. So it's very skillful what you've got to put in there.
That's it.
Eric, back to you. What is the emotion like before you step into the ring? Nervous? Excited?
I'm feeling very, very, very better because I gotta say, when I fighting is like the moment, the very important in my life. I like to fight. And in the Rocky gym, we say, born for fight, for battle.
Yes.
We are the
born
soldier.
Born for battle.
Yes. Born for battle. So we are the soldier.
Yes. So you're not nervous. You look forward to it with eager anticipation.
Yeah. Me, when I'm going to the ring, I'm going to win.
Yes.
Is the moment for six.
Yes. Yes. Sure. And Rocky, from your side, as a trainer, you've been with these guys, you've seen how hard they train, you're an experienced boxer yourself, you understand that you know, in one moment of error, you know, 2 hours on the road every morning, you know, hours in the gym is gone with one punch.
Sure.
What is you bring the fighters to the ring?
Yeah,
what do you feel?
We bring them prepared, and I think they're fit to go. I'll never let them fight if I don't think they're ready. And these guys have been working hard for this. The last fight, four fighters, 4 wins, 100% win rate.
That's amazing.
We're looking for another one.
This is
going to... And Eric's got a hard fight. He's fighting a guy that's rated number 3 in his division, and he's number 4. And this is going to be a...
How big is the group? I mean, would he have fought them before?
He hasn't fought him yet, but he's heading up for a title fight soon.
Okay.
So they're eliminating now, so they're getting to where they got a challenge for a title quite soon.
Okay, great. Larry, the one interesting name I saw on the fight card is Mike Skitter. Now, for the older viewers, older listeners, they'll remember the days in the 70s when Mike Skitter was fighting Gerry Coetzee. Mike Skitter was a tremendous fighter. Now his son is now fighting.
Oh, you wanna... I was going to say, I mean, were they bringing him in a Zimmer frame?
No, it's the son.
Right,
it's the son.
I just wondered. Didn't want to be rude or anything.
No, but you could have a chance against Mike, the old one. Larry, talk to us about him, and, you know, what is, you know, I would expect there to be a big attendance just to watch him fight. There can be a lot of interest in him.
Sure, Rob. You see, one of the things that we talk about is development fights, And on the bill, we have three fights that are guys making their pro debut, of which he is one. Mike Jr. is a cruiserweight. He's not a heavyweight. And this is his first fight as a pro. And he trains out of Lionel Hunter's gym. But I think it's going to be something to watch. I think he comes with a bit of a reputation. So let's see and hope he can do well. And because that's boxing needs fighters to do well to get the following.
That's exactly right. Rocky, talking about, you know, following on from what Larry said about a following, I see one of your young fighters who's certainly come along. He lost his first fight, which I thought he was unlucky to lose, and has won his last three fights, is young Leighton Goss, okay, Leo's son. You want to talk about his development?
Yeah, Rob, we're pretty happy with the way things are going with him. He's attracting a lot of attention at the moment, and I think if he's got heart, his father had heart in the boxing ring and in the cage as a cage fighter, Leo Gloss.
Yes,
and we're quite happy that he's going to get a lot of support. You know, he's getting a lot of attention in these tournaments.
Yeah.
Right. Unfortunately, Rob, we do have to start wrapping up. So, anyway, we do have quite a lot of people, but after the show, what we'll do is we will draw this out as we normally do, and of course, my producer Mandy will contact you. What we're going to do is give away two sets of two tickets for the tournament on Sunday. So we will come through to you after the show. It does take place at Turnfontein on Sunday, May the 6th, and certainly sounds like a great event, and especially if this is your vibe, a very, very interesting thing indeed. Guys, thank you for taking the time to come and chat to us. Very, very interesting. Gives us a very, very nice perspective and overview. Rob Katz, thank you for organizing it.